If I want it, just think how much God wants it. I want to see relatives, brothers and sisters, needs met. Amen. Doctor's bills paid for. We'll take care of that, Jeff Baker. We'll take care of that, Jeff Baker. We'll take care of that for you. We got the money. God's got more money. See, God wants to see His blessing on His people. I want to see that for Jeff, Lord. I want to see that totally taken care of.
Yes, thank you,
Lord. You said you'll take the crooked paths and make them straight. We're just believing that for Jeff right now, Father. That you show yourself mightily to him by signs and wonders.
Yes,
taking care of the materialistic things. Mark 11, verses 20 through 26. Starts off. Let's just go down to 22. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. That's where we need to start. Have faith in God. Yahshua. El Shaddai. The Most High God. El Elyon. Have faith in God. For assuredly, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed. You got some mountains you need to speak to.
Amen.
Debt, sickness, disease. Speak to them. Be removed. Be cast into the sea and does not doubt. There's your focus. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to shout out what God says.
Amen.
In 2016, to be great, you got to shout what the Word says. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe. Believe it. Believe it. And those things He says, not doubting in his heart. Romans 10:9, that's how I got saved. That's the same way we walk by faith. We live by faith. It's the Word of God. Don't doubt, you will have whatsoever you say. Verse 24, therefore, Jesus says, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have them. And don't forget this. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, it's going to be a little bit in the message, just forgive. Because that's how we want these blessings overflowing, overtaking us. But God can't bless us unless we forgive. It's tied to a spiritual law right there. Just forgive, because the devil wants you to get mad and get angry. He wants to take it away from you, but God says, I want to get it to you. When you stand praying, forgive that your Father in heaven. And also, who's right there beside the Father? Jesus. See, this was written before Jesus left, but Jesus is right there with him, and they're in agreement. So once you forgive, the windows of heaven are opened up. Amen. Forgive. That might be, it's going to be your spouse. It's going to be your brothers, your sisters. It's going to be your enemy. There's going to be opportunities all through the year. Forgive in advance right now. Amen. Go ahead and forgive. Zip your lip. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let's stand this morning. We're believing. We're forgiven. We're standing and we're forgiven right now. We're forgiven by faith. We're forgiven those that didn't give us a raise, that were supposed to give us a raise. We're forgiven those that spoke words of hurt toward us. Maybe not last year. It might have been years ago. Lord, we've forgiven them right now. Because our heart, your heart, is for us to be blessed and for you to manifest yourself, your glory, through our lives this year in a magnificent way that people will come running to us saying, how are you doing these things? Emmanuel, God is with me. That's how. How much time you got? Come to church with me. See this God that's living big in me and big in my finances. Father, we thank you. We stand in agreement today in our finances, believing for the great and mighty promises that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are more than conquerors because of your great love that's been poured out. And Father, we stand in agreement with your Word, expecting great and mighty, those mighty promises being manifested. That means being revealed in our lives, in our finances, in our future. And Father, we stand here as a grateful people, humbling ourselves because it's all because of you. Because of your great love you loved us with. Even while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us so that we, through your great mercy and grace, can say, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Now, Father, we bring our tithes and offerings this morning, Father, with a cheerful heart. And we're expecting. We're going past the 30. We're going past the 60. We're focusing on the 100-fold. Because I can't do it, Lord. That's because it's got to be you. And, Lord, you said it's going to come with persecutions. And, Father, we thank you right now for your grace. When the persecution comes, we're going to give them grace. Because that's what it's all about. And that's that power. And we're going to receive that 100-fold return so that we can go to the colleges of our choice, that we can do and be a success that you've called us to be in 2016 and beyond. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm happy. Amen. Come on down. Bless the Lord with your offering this morning. Now, in the bulletin, I mentioned that the Lord just spoke to me about a year of great change. I'm really not going to start the message this today because the Lord's still working with me and dealing with me on that change. And it might be throughout the year, different messages. But I was praying about this, and since it's already in the new year, talk about commitments, some commitments for the new year. Just a couple of steps that can help us commit to this great year of 2016 and believe in God. And we're going to start, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, before we do that, let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for your word. Lord, your word is final authority in me, in the earth. And Father, I just submit myself to you to be your vessel today, Father God, to deliver what you'd have your people to say. Lord, I want you to, I don't want the people to see me. I want them to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, as I deliver this message. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your inspiration that will come through me, that you will, the people will hear the Word of God, and it'll stir up hope and faith. And, Lord, they'll go out of here changed every day this year, every Sunday, changed into your image, into your glory. And people will see you, as the prophet said. The people will see you. They'll see your glory on the people because they have a story in their lives of what you've done, things you've changed in their lives, and it'll make a difference. You are making a difference. Don't let the devil think you ain't, because you are. Bad English, but it's a good message. You are. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, over 2,000 years ago, one of the greatest Christian leaders, the Apostle Paul, gave us this advice. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing. See, this year, focus on one thing. Make one of your focuses one thing. This one thing I do. Forgetting. We just sang the song. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forward. Say, reaching forward. See, this is a spiritual concept. Reaching forward by faith. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That vision that God's put in your heart. I press toward. There's your commitment. I press. Can't see it. I sit toward. Now, it don't sound right, does it? I press. You got to be up and going for it. I press toward the goal, the mark for the prize of the upward call. It's a good call. It's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can say of the promises in God's word, of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't know any more relevant and practical advice for us to start the year 2016 is that verse. So what's your plan for this year? I haven't got all mine figured out yet. But if you fail the plan, help me, you're failing, you're planning to fail. I about said it wrong. If you fail the plan, you're planning to fail. You got to have a plan. You got to have something God's called you to do. You got to be pressing toward that. That's your first commitment, is commit ourselves to forget the failures, forget the past. And focus on the goal. After you write down your sheet, remember now, impossibilities. Press toward that and watch God empower you to prosper. That's what the word says. He will empower you to prosper. Amen? Keeping Him first in all that we do. Number one, commit yourself to forget your failures. Number two, commit yourself to give up your grudges. Put both. What do you say? Grudges, if you have any. I want you to listen to these words from the book of Colossians. Because in them you'll hear the second challenge I believe God wants us to rise to in 2016, a significant turning point in your life. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other, bear with them, and forgive each other. Whatever grievances you may have against one another, what do we say in Mark 11:23? Forgive as the Lord, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Don't hold a grudge. Did you catch that challenge? Did you catch it? You got to catch it with your heart, because your flesh don't want it. Your flesh don't want it. That flesh wants a grudge. It wants to fight. It wants to be a brawler. See, it was. You were created in that old sin atmosphere, that sin nature. Ernest T. and Andrew Griffin would say nature. He called it creature. Y'all remember Ernest T.? Creature. That was old sin nature. You got to let it loose. Don't you go get no rocks and go bust down nobody's windows now, because you by Ernest T. Ernest T. Bass. Catch that challenge. Forget those grudges. If you have to, tie that grudge. Tie what you want to say on the rock and throw it. Throw it at the devil. Throw it at his kingdom. Amen. Jesus is the rock. There you go. Put that promise on that rock like David did and throw it at the giant. Throw that grudge at the giant. Amen. Nip it in the bud. God in these words is challenging us directly and personally to give up our grudges. Cast that care. Cast it upon the Lord. For that's what it means when it says forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. What's a grudge? A grudge, and Kenneth talked about we need to go deep into things of God. A grudge is a deep, ongoing statement that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else. Boy, that, to me, that's a bad recipe. That takes a lot of time and effort when it talks about deep cultivating. Let's not go there. Don't even go there. Let's not even scratch the surface of grudge. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions. And the world is a cesspool of it. A lot of times, whatever you turn the TV on is a cesspool of it. But we don't have to go there. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. You said, preacher, why are you staying on this longer? The first commitment, you was gone, right? We need to hear it. Somebody's out there that's got a grudge against you. Don't let them steal your joy. What you need to know, what you need to know is that grudges are dangerous because they're destructive. Grudges destroy marriages, break up families, ruin friendships. I remember some of those. And it can split churches. Not this one, because we ain't gonna let it in the door. But it has, and it is. Splitting churches. Today, it could be over carpet color, curtains hanging, grudges, just little things. The devil just get in there. But like Barney says, we have to nip those things in the bud, right? That's what the pastor's got to do. We got to nip them. We got to nip it. We all got to do it. If we do it out here, if you judge yourself, we're going to take communion later. You won't have to be judged. I won't have to do it. Amen. That's where it starts. Just don't even do it out here. We don't have to bring it. And this church does a good job at that. Today, if you know anything, if you know you're holding a grudge against anyone, then God has something to say to you today. Give it up. The Frozen song, what does it say? Let it go, let it go. Lisa, you want to sing that? You got to get high, and I can't get high. Let it go. I'm not going to sing it either. Just let those grudges go. Commit yourself to forget failures. Number two, commit yourself to give up any grudges. And was I going to share that? Let me see. I was getting ready to say it, but I'm going through. I know what's in there. Number three, commit yourself to restore your relationships. And I'm not saying they're destroyed or having problems, but we all have places that we can bring restoration. Restoration. Somebody, something just don't go right that day. You can restore that person out of that situation. That's restoring a relationship. Amen. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, and we know that in me it's not, but with God, all things are possible. Don't say that relationship is impossible. Write that down on your list. Lord, I want this relationship restored in my life. Now, God ain't going to come down from heaven. He's going to give you something to do, or he's going to work with that person, but don't think it's just going to all be up to God. He's going to need you to forgive. That's your part, is forgive, and then do what else he calls you to do. Remember, he's working through people and other people. But if it's all possible, 12:18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You mean my neighbor that even has their rock and roll music blaring on Sunday morning? It's possible. It's possible through the grace of God. It might just be somebody might have chickens out there. Their chickens are waking you up early in the morning. You'd be good today. They might get you some eggs. You might not have to go to food line. They might bring you some eggs to your house. Take them some chicken feed. But you don't understand. That chicken waking me up in the morning. Take him some chicken feed. That chicken, he won't cock-a-doo quite as loud around your window. God can work with animals, can he not? He used a rooster to put Peter in repentance. Did he not? Spoke to that rooster. He crowed 3 times at the right time. Peter repented 3 times. Lord, forgive me. The important phrase here is, as far as it depends on you. God, by using that phrase, is personally challenging each one of us to do all that we can do to restore relationships, and then believing him to do what we can't do is for that person to see we mean it, we genuinely mean it, and then they have to do their part. See, all we can do is our part, but a lot of times that's a supernatural task right there, is to confront your enemy and say, I love you. How can I help you today? What can I do for you today? The Lord wants you to do everything in that area. Some relationships might have gone wrong in your life because of what other people have done, and they might well not want that relationship restored, the other person. God knows that. He recognizes that, and you're not accountable for that. That is why it starts by saying that verse, if it is possible. But let's be honest about some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done. Can I get a weak amen? I remember when I first got born again, I started thinking about, I hadn't been a lot in the Word, but I started thinking about things I had done in grammar school. How I made fun of, you know, the bullying is the big thing now. I was a bully. I remember making fun. You'd group around the guys and make fun of people, the way they looked, the way they talked, what they wore, how they smelled. And I actually called a couple of those people back and actually apologized. You think they seen something different in me then? See, that's what God put on my heart. I'm not telling you got to do that if you went back years, but that's what God ministered to me. And one I called and said, I want to thank you, because his family was Christian. They took me to church. They took me out to the Western Steer, fed me, even gave me dessert, chocolate cake. I said, you want a dessert? I'm like, yes, I'll never get this at home. But they take me out after church, because the friend I played with, you know, they just had one sibling. And man, he had all kind of good stuff. He had dirt bikes and, you know, things that I'm one of five. You know, so I'm the last of five. I got the what you call them, the hand-me-downs. There you go. I got some new stuff too, but mainly, you know where I'm coming from. So I went to his house. Boy, we had fun. Crank up that. Let's ride that dirt bike today. And they take me out to Western Steer and feed me. I called him back and told him how much I appreciated them and his family showing me Jesus. Because now I had Jesus, and I knew what they did. It was from their heart. And it was a seed that changed my life. It changed my course. And I had a grateful heart. And it can change somebody. I can't change what the other person did to me, but I can change how I respond what others will do to me. Right? And see, they're looking at your response. And if they're in the world and they don't have Christ, they don't have hope. They're looking to have the same thing that the world gives them, which is, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. No, but you give them, how can I help them? What can we do here? What can I do to help you? Love. Love is the key that unlocks the door of heaven in somebody's life. Amen? When God's word says here, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it's saying if you have caused a rift or a ruffle in somebody's feather in a relationship, then you have a responsibility to do everything you can to restore. If you're a child of God, you want to do that. So if that ministers to you, take that today. If it don't, be ready, because somebody's out there is going to try to come in between you and God. That's the main relationship. The devil's out there trying to put somebody across your path that says, I don't believe in this God that you go to church with and praise Him every day. There's people out there that want to mock God. You know what? Christ died for that person. Let's show them the love. Let's ask the Lord creative ways that, Lord, that we can show them how much you are real. And it comes with a testimony of what God has done in my life. And don't think it's insignificant. It's a seed. It might be 5 or 10 years. It might be 5 days, 5 weeks. It might be 5 years. But God's word is alive. And all it needs is faith. Mix it with faith. The next thing you know, that sucker's coming out the ground. See, it don't take a long time. God can bring a harvest quick. See, because that life's in the seed. Number four. Well, I didn't finish that. In other words, if you've caused any kind of rift in a relationship, we're responsible for that. That everything includes the one thing we all probably or find it most difficult is asking for forgiveness. And forgiveness is there. All you got to do is ask. Lord, forgive me. Get it under the table. Put it under the rug. Then walk on it. I am forgiven. I am in right standing with the God Most High and His Son. Amen. Number four, commit yourself to turn your back on your transgressions. Romans 6:2, listen to these words. Do not let sin control you, the way you live your life. Do not give in to its lustful desires, because the Bible says we are no longer slaves to that sin. That is the last challenge I want to put before you today. I believe if you will rise to meet it, this new year truly will be significant for you. Turn your back on those transgressions. When God's word says, do not let sin control the way you live, do not give in to its lustful desires, He is issuing the challenge to turn our back on our transgressions. Christian writers used to talk about something they called besetting sins. Those sins that so easily beset you. What they meant by these besetting sins were particular sins that a Christian was prone to doing time and time and time again. And I'm not going to get into your mail, because we all got some of those that try to tangle us down. For most of us, when we are saved, we give up certain sins easily, but there are others that we know are wrong that we battle with. Paul said, it's a good fight. It's a fight of faith. It's an everyday fight. Amen. We got to fight the good fight. Those are our besetting sins. Many of us end up choosing to give in to our besetting sins and end up living double lives. Let's be clear about this. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection broke the power of that besetting sin. He broke it. Ask Mary Magdalene. She'll tell you. He broke it. Amen. Destroyed it. And she followed the Lord the rest of her life while He was on this earth. And then some. Amen. The Holy Spirit can give us and does give us the power to resist. What's our job? Submit. Submit to God, and we'll have that, and resist that sin. Submit to His word. Submit to His promise. And there's the power to resist sin and all that it means, that you don't have to go into this new year still being defeated by that same old, same old, same old. You can have the victory over it. God says you are no longer slave to sin, so that's what you got to say. I'm no longer slave to this. I'm overcoming this because God has given me the power to. Rise up. The eagle has lifted. Rise up. Rise up in the power of the Lord. Be all that the Lord has created you to be in 2016. Now, we're going to take communion here at the end of the service, but I wanted you to hear that prophetic word from Kenneth. I wanted you to hear these commitments, because when we come into communion, then we're putting it in action. And Jesus is going to be right here with us. In concluding, with this new year, will this new year be just a calendar year changing event for you? You're just going to take that old calendar off the wall and put up 2016 and here we go again? No, don't let it be that. Let it be a life-changing every month. Let you go through every day. Man, look what the Lord has done today. Write it on your calendar. Flip it over. Man, how can he get any better this next month? Flip it over. Flip it on over, baby. And believe God for a better month after January. Going from gooder to gooder. Or are we willing to rise? We are. The eagle has taken off. Rise to these challenges from God's word and make these commitments, and so make it a life-challenging event. Will you commit with me this year? Are we willing to commit yourself to forget your failures? Say yes. Will you commit yourself to give up any grudges? Will you commit yourself to restore relationships? Will you commit yourself to turning your back on those sins that so easily beset us? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. The new year will really be something to celebrate if you'll make forgiveness the heart of what it's all about. And this will require us to be ready to change. That's going to be what the Lord's going to focus on throughout the year for us. All that we're talking about is going to require us to change and to become the image of Him. Be conformed, the Word says, into the image of His Word, of His love. Let His love just wrap you, soak you, and let it change you into His image. Amen. That's what this year of 2016 is about. It's about God manifesting Himself to us in ways that, Lord, only You. Man, we're the clay. He's the potter. Amen. He's the potter. He is the potter. Thank You, Jesus. I got a specific prayer here I want us to pray, but we're going to do it after communion as far as specifics here. But this time, Lewis, would you and Reed, would y'all come forward? You okay with that, Lewis? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Lewis and Reed, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to let them serve the elements. I'm going to remind us in 1 Corinthians here what Paul instructed us. 1 Corinthians 11. Therefore, say there, this is what you're there for. Amen. Jesus was there for this moment. Now we're here for Him for this moment. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, in other words, Paul's talking about, you're not focusing on what this is about. It's not about coming to eating and doing all these things. It's coming about remembering Him. Paul says you've got houses to do all that eating and celebrating in. Do that there. When you come here, celebrate Jesus. Celebrate the Lord one for another. In verse 23, for Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which He also delivered to you. Paul wasn't there at the Last Supper, but he was there on the Damascus Road. And Jesus revealed Himself, and then Paul went for 3.5 years and communed with Him in the deserts of Arabia by the Spirit of God. That same Spirit is here this morning. It's in you. It's in this church. It's in this world. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul says, as he delivered, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, he was betrayed. He took bread. Let's serve the elements, Kelsey. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Just like Paul said right here, when Jesus was betrayed, he took this bread, he took his body and offered it right there, a living sacrifice to his friends. Greater things were going to have to be done. And he knew that. And he knew that. He said, Father, this is the time. He had already settled it in the garden. He said, now I'm settling it right here with my friends. You're going to be betrayed, but you got something to hold on to, Terry. We got something to hold on to. It's the body that was broken. It represents healing in your body. Don't take sickness this year. Jesus took it 2,000 years ago. Don't take it. He took it to hell. That's where we need to keep it. Under your feet. It's under our feet. It's going to take you doing something, me doing something. We got to say it. We got to commune, and when we commune, then we got to say it. Let's say it. Father, we thank you that this the Lord's body was broken and bruised so that I have healing 24/7, 365 days of the year. We received that this morning. Yes. We would say on New Year's Eve, let's make a toast. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, this is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you for the remission of all those sins, those besetting sins that you were drowning in. Jesus said that you were drowning in. You had no way out but God, me and the Father, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, we took communion. We communed before we even created, before God even created you. He created an escape for us. It was through His blood. It was through that sacrifice that no longer are we called sinners. We're called friends of God. Amen. Amen. Through this sacrifice, receive the cup this morning. Kelsey, you can continue on with that song of worship. And then I want us, as this song is playing, I want us to agree on these specific prayers that the Lord gave me as we prayed over as a church here New Year's night. We didn't wait for the ball to come down. We waited for the word to come down. Amen. And then we agreed with it. As we took communion, Jesus says, "Where two or more are gathered, He's right here in the midst." Four specific prayers I want us to agree on right now as a church for our nation. A nation for godly leadership. This is what we're believing in 2016. The prophet spoke it. I had this written out before I listened to this. He spoke it. And we're coming in line in agreement with it. For an upcoming president, divine protection from our enemies. For this year of 2016, that we'll have God's man with God's plan sitting at the White House in Jesus' name. Godly leadership, not only him but those under him. We pray for those seats to be turned, the seats of the wicked to be removed, and for the seats of the righteous to come in fold in this city, in this nation, in our country. That's how it became great, and that's how it will remain great in 2016 and beyond. Amen? And it takes us praying and believing. And what have we got to do? We got to go vote. We just don't pray about it. We go vote. Number two, pray for Israel. Pray for the shalom, the peace of Israel. That we support Israel. We stand behind Israel. If God calls you, whatever He calls you to do for Israel, if He calls you specifically to do something, just do what He's called you to do. But pray for the peace of Israel and for her people. Pray for our nation that we will continue to support Israel. Because we're called to in the Bible. As a church. Number three, pray for Word of Faith Worship Center, our church. The vision to lead people. This is our vision, to lead people to Jesus, to lead them to Christ. Here and also out in the wilderness as we go out. Show them Jesus. Give them a testimony. To teach and make disciples of all nations of the Lord. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And continuing on, Jesus said, "All that I've taught, teach others likewise. Do unto others as I've done unto you," He says. That's our vision. To teach people about faith. For our church families, I pray for the needs. For your needs today. For the desires of your heart for this year. And for your family and families and for your children's children's children. We're believing for those needs and desires that you've been believing, God. We're hooking our faith with you today, that those needs are met. Not only are they met, but they're manifested greatly and abundantly this year to where you know it's God. Man, that was God. And you're going to come in here and you're going to testify. You put your hand up. We're a free church here. You got something to say, put your hand up. I got to tell you something God did for me. No, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand. I was blind, but now I see. So you got to tell us. I had cancer, but they can't find it anymore. Yes, amen. It was inoperable, but it's gone. This is what we're believing for. Amen. Believing the impossible. Yes. For people that are all the way in California, Jesus is right in the midst of their stuff. Yes. Thank you. And He says, "Give it to me, because I got the right stuff you need." I take the bad stuff, Jesus says, and I give you the right stuff. Amen. To live and not die. To live and not die, Jeff Baker, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I think about the baker that was in the prison with Joseph. Famous baker. God's got His eye on Jeff Baker. He might feel like he's in the pit, but He's going to take him to the palace. He might feel like he's in the pit right now, but you keep your faith. We keep our faith hooked up. He can take him to the palace. He can take him to the palace. Amen. Amen. Pray that relationships are restored and made stronger. We That was in the message. That was also in the prayer. Made stronger. You say stronger than horseradish. I never eat it. I don't even want to smell it. That's some strong stuff. Let's make that relationship stronger than that. A binding, covenant relationship. I will not quit and I will not be defeated, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And number four, pray for me. Amen. Pray for the pastor. Pray for me. I need your prayer. That I may speak the word in season, out of season, with all boldness. That I would hear, not just hear, but hear specifically. Specifically from Father. And make wise decisions. Make wise decisions concerning the operations of the church. Amen. That's my desire. I'm not going to say what Forrest Gump would say. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is, Jenny. I know what love is. And because of that love, I am a smart man. That's what Jesus would say. That's what Jesus said. Not only did he say it, he proved it. He proved it when he went to the cross. He proved there was a greater love on the inside of him that was going to raise him from the dead. That's a promise he had from the Father before he left his heavenly throne and came to the earthly. As God said, he ain't going to leave me. He ain't going to leave me down there. He ain't going to leave you in that stuff. All you got to do is reach your hand up and say, Father, I need you. You are, it's done. All it takes is call upon the name of the Lord, and it's done. Amen. That's our prayers. That's our agreement.